All God's people said, amen. That was wonderful. Thank you for the special music. And my name is Jared Mitchell. I'm a pastor nearby at Temple Baptist Church in Glen Burnie. And 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago, Pastor Luke gave me a phone call and said that his original pastor, mentoring pastor from Iowa, was not able to come and be able to speak and due to, you know, health reasons. And so Brother Luke said, I've called like 50 other people and they're not... Finally got to my name. Even the Episcopalian was not willing to come. You know, but I really appreciate the honor. I feel like Rambo. You know, like you get to that point where it's like, he may blow it up, but he'll get the job done. So thank you for asking me to... Me and Brother Luke have already struck up a good friendship in the past. Well, you've been here for about a year now, is that right? And we've had lunch together before. I've appreciated meeting his wife and his children. I think he did a great job during the ordination review time, and I'm glad to be part of the ordination service today as well. We'll pray. I need to move very, very quickly through the passage that I'll be in and turn it over to Brother Jeff as well. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for Brother Luke and Miss Diane. I pray that you've already done a great work here, even today with the baptisms and the church memberships, and we pray that you would continue to do more great things through his ministry and through the local church here at Grace. And I ask today that you'd help me to speak words of truth. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I originally planned to go through 1 Timothy chapter 3, but I thought 1 Timothy chapter 4 may be also an interesting passage to give a charge to you, Pastor Luke. It's been said before. I'm not sure who said it. I just read it off the internet. But life is 10%. What happens to us, and 90% how we respond to it. How we respond as a pastor to various situations, various forms of good times and bad times, how we respond to it. So today we're going to look at how to respond as a pastor and various truths there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's look at verses 1 and 2. And first, a pastor must stay true to the faith. He must stay true to the faith. Verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." A pastor must be a man who stays true to the faith. In verse 1, the Holy Spirit gives an expressed warning that in the later times, the days that we live in, the church age, that there will be this characteristic of people moving away from the truth of God's Word. It affects not only our society, but also the churches that we minister in. It mentions here that in latter times, well, it was already beginning in the lifetime of Timothy, who was a young protege for the Apostle Paul. It's a characteristic that we still deal with today, that some will be wayward, and some may have never even been with us to begin with, sheep-skinned wolves, but they will depart from the faith, away from the gospel, away from the truth. They'll give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. They'll be speaking lies and hypocrisy, play-acting as if they really are part of God's will, but they're not. They have their conscience seared, a sharp burning that has deadened their senses. In other words, just like in the days of Timothy and in our day that we live in, there are those that begin to accept the bad things that God forbids, and they begin to forbid the good things that God accepts. How should a pastor respond to this? Well, Pastor Luke, we must be true to the faith. We must have, if you look at verse 3, a clear conscience toward marriage. I appreciate the strong marriage between Pastor Luke and his wife, their boys. I enjoyed seeing our boys play that morning that we got together at Chick-fil-A and had a good time together. But in the life of Timothy, there were some that departed from the faith, and they were beginning to demand that a pastor live a life of celibacy in the sense that he never be married. In verse 3, forbidding to marry. We'll pause right there for just a moment and read the rest in just a second. In the lifetime of Timothy, there were those that would be doing extra biblical disciplines, going beyond Scripture and saying a real pastor, if he's really in the gospel, if he's really devoted, he will not have a wife or things of this world. He will be totally devoted to God. That idea has really produced some havoc within elements of Christianity that hold to that today. But I'm grateful that Pastor Luke is a man that takes his marriage and his family seriously. God has not forbidden marriage for us. Praise God for that. I'm grateful for that. I have 6 children myself. I wouldn't live a good life of celibacy like they're defining it here. I have my wife, and I'm grateful for that. Have a clear conscience toward marriage, but then also have a clear conscience towards meats. You think, wow, we just ate a bunch of meat, right? Well, listen to this. In verse 3, here is another extra-biblical, or going back to the Old Testament and failing to see how Christ had fulfilled some of the ceremonial practices of the law. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Here is another departure that Timothy was dealing with. They had the extra-biblical idea that a pastor needed to remain celibate, not be married. They also had the idea that if you were really a man of God, then you would also have this discipline of abstaining from Old Testament meats and so forth, the things that were commanded in the Old Testament, but they failed to see how they were not rightly dividing the Word of God. They failed to see the difference between what God gave to Israel and the freedom that God gave to the church. And there's a grave importance, Pastor Luke, and you know this, that we rightly divide the Word of God, that we understand differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we understand what God commanded to Israel or responsibilities that He commanded to the church. And because Christ fulfilled the things that He fulfilled on the cross and nailed those ordinances to the cross, we are no longer demanded, nor should we be evaluated, Pastor Luke, by our disciplines as if, well, if I remain celibate and not marry, if I abstain from certain meats, if I have these particular diets, then I'll be spiritual. No, those are all secondary issues. The Lord is wanting to look at our heart about things. He must stay true to the faith. We often compensate spiritual problems by developing physical disciplines. And what I mean by that is if I have this spiritual problem, but if I just change my diet, then maybe I'll have a better avenue, a very more disciplined. Our life is not evaluated by our dietary restrictions, whether we're married or not. New resolutions don't make us righteous. We must stay true to the faith, know how to rightly divide it. We stay true to the faith, but also we must, number 2, speak truth to the faithful. There are those, it's great to see a full house even on a Sunday afternoon to be part of this ordination service with your pastor. He speaks truth to you, does he not? He preaches the Word of God with authority because it comes from the Word of God. And Pastor Luke, we must do this in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Second, a pastor must speak truth to those who are faithful. Rather than picking up secondary causes like dietary restrictions and things like that, a godly pastor must respond by picking up the cause of Christ, the cross itself, teaching others to be faithful in the truth. It mentions in verse 6, putting the brethren in remembrance of these things, teaching others the importance of God's Word, placing proper weight on the themes of Scripture. Before we ever crusade about our own pet peeves or crusade about secondary issues that may be out there, people desperately need the Word of God. And it says in verse 6, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And I know this is your desire, Brother Luke, to be a good pastor. And the Bible says that if we put the people in remembrance of the Word of God, that's being a good pastor. If we deal with those serious spiritual matters, you know what? Those secondary matters will fall into place. He must speak the truth to the faithful, but also, number three, he must stay clear of the fallacies. Because there's plenty of fallacies out there that can kind of come in and creep in into our own way of thinking. And we must constantly evaluate our thinking according to God's Word. If you look at verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and he must stay clear of the fallacies, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. A pastor must stay clear of the fallacies. He is to refuse those things that just kind of float around in our day and age, those myths, or the things that would be philosophies or programs that get away from God's Word rather than digging into it. A pastor should not give credence to what the Bible calls old wives' tales or foolish forms of advice, but rather a pastor is to devote himself to godliness. How does a pastor stay clear of fallacies when it's so easy? You know, Satan's so good about taking 90% truth and ushering in with the 10%, that lie. And it's deceptive. How does a pastor stay clear of fallacies? Well, first, he's not to seek his own prosperity. If you look at verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. That's not a demand or a command to say don't exercise. It's a good idea too, but it's understanding the importance and the weight of it and the priority. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. Here the Bible separates between the difference between the priority matters and the secondary matters. Bodily exercise is certainly an important thing. It's an important thing that I've had to take more up in my life as I now get into my mid-30s. It's like, wow, I don't burn that off like I used to, you know. How many people here still feel like the way they look is the way they looked when they were 17? And then, yeah, and then you look in the mirror and you're like, whoa, you know, what happened? You know? Well, things change. Anyway, back to the point. Bodily exercise is important, but to place an emphasis on it above exercising the Word of God. The primary issue is godliness. Godliness is our primary in all things as pastors. It will naturally produce better disciplines in all areas. Be devoted to godliness. Not seeking his own prosperity, but avoiding fallacy, staying clear by being able to suffer in adversity. You've already pastored several years now. Haven't there been days where it's like, oh man, what did I get myself into? Yeah. Or, wait a minute, they didn't tell me about this at seminary. Being able to suffer through adversity. Look at verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. I love the Apostle Paul whenever he says, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, but the passage escapes me when he talks about how he knows how to be abased, brought low, but he also knows how to abound. He knows how to be successful and handle that well, but he also knows how to be unsuccessful and handle that well too. There is adversity. Boy, there's some great joys in serving the Lord, ain't there? But then there's also moments of, this is hard. And being able to learn to suffer and learn to suffer well is something that a pastor needs to respond to. Stay clear of the fallacies. And also, number four, he must stay true to his function. as what the Bible defines a pastor. And the three, you think of the three terms that the Bible uses for a pastor. You have the word pastor, which means a shepherd, feed the flock. Bishop, which means to be an administrator. Elder, which also has the idea of aged maturity. And even though we are both young men, we can still manifest the maturity of God by staying in God's Word. So that when people see us, and I think when you see Pastor Luke, you think of him as a man that his wisdom is well beyond his years, because he has studied and stayed in the Word of God. But we must stay true to our function. Look at verse 11. These things command and teach. A pastor doesn't need to necessarily emphasize secondary causes for substitute for spiritual growth. Where does a pastor need to place his priorities? Where does his philosophy of ministry need to come from? Well, he's to be a faithful pattern to other believers. That people can look at a pastor and look at Pastor Luke and say, I want to follow Pastor Luke because I know he's following Jesus Christ. He is making that pattern. Verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, a pattern for the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. A pastor needs to find security in his walk with the Lord. That he doesn't have to demand respect from people, but that he has earned it. He has showed it. And when you, Pastor Luke, as you begin to expound upon the Word of God and the year that you've already been here and the respect that you've earned from the folks here in this congregation, they see that you're wiser than you're even beyond your years, that you're an example to believers, that you know how to handle the Word of God, that you know how to handle your behavior, how to show compassion, how to show a good spirit with good faith and good purity. That's a life, when they see a life that's different than what the rest of the world offers, they know that you're following the right God. Faithful as a pattern to believers, but faithful also in his preaching to believers. This is part of our function, not only to be good in our pattern, but to be faithful in our preaching. Look at verse 13. Paul says to Timothy, till I come, give attendance. This is your focus. This is your primary. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Our primary focus as a local church, there's many, many things that we could do. But our primary focus, the reading, exhortation, and doctrine. The more that we learn about God, the more that we preach His Word, then we will put the proper weight on the themes of Scripture, without getting onto our own hobby horses and emphasizing them too much. But we'll put the right weight to expressing salvation to the lost. We'll put the right weight on discipleship. We'll put the right weight on being a local church that is in the Word and not just only being hearers of it, but doers of it. The ministry of the local church is not to support pet causes, but our cause is to support living in the Bible as God's Word. And as God's people, to exalt God, to edify the saints, and to evangelize the lost. Be faithful in our preaching, but also be faithful in our pastoring. Showing a pattern, showing good preaching, good pastoring as well to the believers. Look at verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing thou this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, in order to keep going, to keep pastoring, Paul tells him to remember his ordination. Boy, I remember my ordination. That's a day that doesn't leave me in my mind. You know what I mean? It's like a memory that's very, very clear. I remember all those hands on top of my head coming around one by one and praying with me and just feeling the deep breath of the men and all this. You know, not that that their breath was all that great, but I remember it as a great memory to remember the ordination, to meditate on God's Word, to give ourselves wholly to God's Word. And that will bring spiritual growth, not only to us personally, that will bring spiritual growth to the congregation God has called us to. There are many things that we could do as a church, many things that you could do as a pastor, but the Bible specifies what our emphasis is: being a man of the Word, sharing the Word with others, and getting the Word out to the world. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for Pastor Luke, and I pray and ask that today would be such a blessing to him and his wife and his family, and also to this church. Thank you for Grace Baptist Church, and we pray and ask that you would do great things here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.